Blog Talk Radio. In Los Angeles producing it. This show goes by quick. 347-205-9631. Catch the archive version on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports. Podcast platforms wherever you subscribe to podcasts. Powered now by Mancini Media. So without further ado, more of him, less of me. Let me lay the red carpet down, put the podium in its place, and get the mic up. First of all, Tyler, how are you? Second of all, how can people get a hold of you? And third of all, you're bringing another great guest through this show, my friend.
Thanks, Mark. Yes, hello. I am Tyler Brook. I am the host of this show. I am doing pretty well. And if y'all want to follow me, see what I'm up to and all that other fun stuff, go to the Geek Talk with Tyler website, all one word, and you can check out my social pages, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and what have you. And yes, we do have another lovely guest. Please welcome Crispy. How you doing today?
Hi, I'm doing well. I'm really excited for this. So
awesome.
I am an actress, a writer, a director, a producer, a dreamer of dreams, and a lover of cats and pizza.
And wow, beat me to the punch.
Yeah, and I can be found on Instagram at KC_Crispy.
Terrific. Now, we got a little, first, we already got a comment from Denise from San Francisco. What an opening. And yes, what an opening it was. For those of you that are familiar with this theme song, it is the opening for the beloved Disney series Gargoyles, which in fact will serve as the topic of our episode today. Specifically, we'll be talking about the continuation of the comics. No word yet for the continuation for the animated series. If you want that to change, and if you have Disney Plus, please continue watching Gargoyles, which is currently on Disney Plus. However,
yeah,
if you feel like you can do more than that, go to any and all of your social media platforms and just add #KeepBingingGargoyles and encourage others to do the same. Before I go any further, I would like to mention our sponsor, Kitty Cat Rugs. Once again, that sponsor is Kitty Cat Rugs. Dave from Spinoke, apologize if I butcher that, Washington. Guys, love that opening. Everyone should have that. Maybe you started something here. Well, I do like to think of myself as a trendsetter. And maybe you're right. Maybe we should start doing that for further episodes. Can you imagine us doing that, Crispy?
That would be awesome.
I like to think it would be. So for those of you that are unfamiliar with the series of Gargoyles, it takes place in the present day, that is to say, considering this took place in the 90s, it took place in the 90s present day, about 1,000 years after a stone hibernation from the survivors of a gargoyle clan that was destroyed by humans, unfortunately.
Very unfortunately.
I think to add more salt to the wound was that they were humans. They, trusted.
And protected and loved, yes.
Yeah. But all things considered, this show really does serve as a, I guess, as a staple of 90s Disney animation, where we get all your Tailspins, your DuckTales, your Chippendale Rescue Rangers, all of the more cutesy fun shows. Then we have this, a show that starts with genocide in the very first episode. What does that tell you?
It tells me that it's going to be pretty awesome, like, show comparison, and it's definitely going to have darker themes, which was awesome for Gargoyles at that time. It definitely was, like, a leader in bringing that more over.
It was. It's kind of, and we actually, this is our second Gargoyles episode Crispy and I have done. If you want to catch that, feel free to go to the Geek Talk with Tyler website, check on Spotify and or Anchor, and listen to our Gargoyles-themed episode there. But that said, yes, it really does serve as a staple of Disney animation. Not to mention it did introduce the television trope, the Xanatos Gambit. For those of you unfamiliar, it's basically where a person makes a bet, and no matter what happens, the person will always win, even if it's not a superficial or surface value victory.
Yep.
Which, that said, Crispy, congrats again on betting on Xanatos for your Squid Game and coming in second place.
Of course, always bet on Xanatos. He is the man, and, I mean, come on. He's a self-made man, too.
That he is. And if you want to find out how, feel free to watch Season 2 of Gargoyles, because I do not want to give any spoilers. But really, another thing that really helps set this Gargoyles thing is that Star Trek actors much?
Yeah, a lot, and a lot of really great ones, too.
Yeah, mostly from Next Gen, but that doesn't matter where they come from. As long as they deliver, it's awesome. Jonathan Franks, Brent Spiner, Marina Sirtaris, Michael Dorn, LeVar Burton, even some of the original cast members, like the original Uhura.
Yeah, and Avery Brooks was on that, too, from Deep Space Nine, so that was pretty cool.
Avery Brooks, Matthew Frewer, those are all the Star Trek actors I can think of off the top of my head. But yes, considering that, but other than Star Trek, can you think of another show that has this many Star Trek actors in it?
Not off the top of my head. I think this definitely had, like, really amazing casting, even, like, with the Star Trek, like, Tim Curry in it, and, like, other guys, too, which was, like, pretty epic, you know? So they had, like, a stellar cast overall. And, like,
phenomenal casting.
Yeah, and, like the leads, Keith and, like, Sally, oh, my gosh, they're, like, amazing.
Amazing, I guess, is the most apropos word for it. We're already getting a comment from Albert from Poway, apologize if I'm butchering that, California. Black Adam opens Friday. Going to see it. Love the Rock. Well, Albert, I hope you enjoy it, because DC has been lacklustering in their live action lately, but from what I've seen in the trailer of Black Adam, it looks really captivating, and I hope they actually deliver.
Yeah,
so with that said, yes. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was saying, yeah, me too.
But with that said, yes, the first series for the first season talks about them adjusting still to New York. The second season, they're still protecting it, but the later half of the second season, Goliath finally meets his daughter, even though at first he never acknowledged her as such. And it's not because he hated his kid, it's because gargoyles are different than humans. And you're going to say, yes, they're different, they look like monsters. But no, in the parental sense, gargoyles don't raise kids one-on-one. They raise them as, like, a whole. So they see the whole clan as the family, as the parents, not just the two that birthed them.
Angela, aw, she was such a cool character.
He really was. And back to the phenomenal casting, yes, Keith David did a really great job. Fun fact for y'all. Patrick Stewart, Mr. Charles Xavier himself, was originally asked to be Goliath, but he cost too much, so they went with Keith David, and I'm very much glad they did.
Yeah, I can imagine him being voiced by anyone else, to be honest.
At this point, neither can the creator, Greg Wiseman.
that's, yeah, it's like, I feel like he was born to play that role, for sure.
Oh, absolutely. Mark Hamill to Joker, Tim Curry to Dr. Frankenfurter, and now Keith David to Goliath.
Yeah.
Well, with that said, yes, the first season does get them still adjusting. Second gets them to them actually living in New York, save for the second half, which takes Goliath's travels. And I would just skip the third season because it has nothing to do with the story Greg Wiseman wanted, except for the very first episode, which actually does take place about the topic we'll be speaking of, that, of course, being the Gargoyles comics.
Yep.
And it's funny how it's funny you can compare the quality of the seasons. The third season, better known as the Goliath Chronicles, with that of the second season, you'll notice a lot of reused animation. But to be fair, if Disney's good, well known for anything, it's their reuse of animation.
Yeah, I can kind of see that for some of the stuff.
So the first episode of the third season, all the humans in Manhattan know that the gargoyles exist. And as such, like pretty much any group, they're the, oh, we should accept them, and then the, no, we better kill them before they hurt us kind of thing. Those, of course, being the sympathizers and the Quarrymen. The Quarrymen are a group of people formed by John Castaway who wished the gargoyles dead, carrying hammers, destroy the gargoyles while they sleep during the day in their stone hibernation. Kind of like an X-Men thing, if you think about it.
Yeah, hate, man. You know, it's not cool.
No, it really isn't. But had Disney continued with Greg Wiseman's wishes, we would have seen things like Thalog's return, even though he does turn to stone, and like I said, not canon, and so therefore it never followed the comics. So therefore, that scene technically never happened, as upsetting as it was.
Yeah.
Other wonderful things that have happened include Brooklyn's time travel dance, or time dance as it was, and this includes him pretty much traveling through time for 40 years, eventually coming up with his own gargoyle family. And not only that, but Lexington, one of the gargoyles, actually comes out as gay, which, considering that these comics were written in the early 2000s, kind of a big deal back then.
Yeah. It definitely was, and the comic or whatever went into that. What was it called for the Time Dancer? I think Greg was trying to do like a spinoff for that, just for that comic alone. Like, he wanted that story.
Oh, he did. And another story he actually wanted was the Redemption Squad. In a sense, the Redemption Squad serves as five gargoyles antagonists, that being Dingo, Matrix, Fang Yama, and Robin Canmore Hunter. For the record, her name is Robin Canmore, but her alias is the Hunter. That whole thing wasn't just her name, just for the record. But yes, it's kind of like a Suicide Squad, except they're willing to redeem their actions without having a bomb in their neck.
Yeah, I remember. I think he called it like Bad Guys or something, right?
Yeah, the series was called Bad Guys, but the group themselves was called the Redemption Squad.
Right.
Which, I still can't believe that they actually got the Belushi brother to voice Fang. That's crazy, right?
It's pretty awesome. That's like going to be the word for tonight for Gargoyles comics for sure.
It really is. And we're about at the halfway mark, so we're going to get into the trivia question. Crispy, drum roll, please. All right, and the trivia question for tonight. The Gargoyles, according to Greg Wiseman, the Gargoyles series was loosely based on which 80s television show? Once again, according to Greg Wiseman, the Gargoyles were loosely based on which 80s television show. Then we're going to give you all time to type that up as we continue talking about these wonderful series. Yes, are you... Let me tell you. Let me ask you something, Christy. What would you say your favorite episode of Gargoyles is?
That's so hard. There's so many really great episodes. If I had to pick one, like, so hard. I think I would pick the one where Elisa got shot. That one was really deep, and you got to see Goliath go crazy, and you got to see, like, Broadway go crazy, too, which was interesting. It was just such an emotional episode for, like, everyone. And you got to see her cat, which was really cute.
Yes, it was the cat that was the saving grace of the episode. Another Frank Welker animal voice.
Yes, Cagney. Absolutely adorable.
Absolutely adorable. Who, fun fact for y'all 80s kids, Frank Welker is also the voice of both Megatron, Soundwave, and one of his cassette warriors, Frenzy. But as far as casting goes, it's crazy that they got Bill Fagerbach, Patrick Starr, before he was Patrick Starr.
Yes, definitely.
It's crazy. And I would say my favorite Gargoyles episode is The Mirror. That's the one where Puck, voiced by the ever-talented Brent Spiner, makes his appearance as Puck, the Shakespearean character of the same name. So it's basically, in the nutshell, this episode was Demona grabbed Titania's mirror, summons Puck, and tries to get her to grant her wishes. But because Puck is Puck, he does it in a monkey's paw style kind of way. In the sense that, I will grant your wish, but only in a way that works for me.
Oh, we love the Puck, though.
Phenomenal episode, in my opinion.
Yeah, and his other half, too.
Popular, what was it, Owen Burnett, I want to say?
Yeah, his alter ego.
It's amazing the amount of talent, writing, cast, that really goes into this underrated series.
Seriously, and it just shows the range, you know? To go from Owen to Puck, oh my gosh, and like, it's so cool. And
do you
want to
hear something mind-blowing?
What?
The same person that voices Brooklyn also voices Owen.
There you go.
Yeah, that's range.
Yeah.
Well, with that said, yes, I honestly recommend this show for all y'all. If you do, like I said, if you do want to see more Gargoyles action, please add hashtag Keepage and Gargoyles to all your social media platforms. We are winding down, and if you want to submit your answer to tonight's trivia question, we got about 10 minutes left.
The time is counting down.
Indeed it is. So with that said, Krista, you've told me what turned you into Gargoyles. By that I mean turned you into the show.
Mm-hmm.
Could you tell that to the audience, please?
Sure. So I remember, you know, I was a big Disney fan, like, for that, like you mentioned. Like, I really loved Gummy Bears. That was, like, my favorite from that lineup. And then I remember Gargoyles coming on. I remember, like, watching with, like, my best friend at the time. And the first or second episode, I remember David Janitor's coming out, and like, the line was, like, you pay a man enough money, he'll walk barefoot into hell. And I'm like, well, this is Disney? What? No way. Okay, this is going to be so good. You got me. You got me on that line. I'm now, like, hooked and synced.
Yeah, honestly, I always thought it was the Shakespearean ties that hooked you, whether it was Macbeth, who was actually voiced by Gimli himself, John Rhys-Davies.
Yes.
All the, what you call it, A Midnight Summer's Dream references. And I guess even a somewhat Romeo and Juliet kind of aspect that Goliath and Elisa had.
Yeah. Well, I it was David Zanatos. I think I really fell in love with the characters. And it's funny because thinking about it, the characters that I personally like are actually the human characters. Like, I love David Thanatos. I love Elisa Maza. They're definitely my favorite. And at the time, those characters were such, like, trendsetters. And just being able to see that on television in, like, a cartoon format, like, completely blew my mind.
Honestly, had I not known this was all Disney property, I wouldn't have been surprised if you told me this was a DC cartoon. It was that dark.
I could see that. I could definitely see that. It was just so rich and so layered, and Greg did, like, an amazing job on it. Like, oh my gosh, it's definitely a staple of my childhood for sure.
Oh, absolutely. Not just within the show itself, but with the morals and themes it tackled, to racism, gun control, as you mentioned, star-crossed lovers, which I guess is kind of cliche for my taste, but I guess another theme tackled well. Any others you feel like worth mentioning?
They also tackled forgiveness. They also tackled family bonds, Elisa, Talon. There's so much that they went into, like the clan too. I mean, like David Thanatos and Goliath, really interesting relationship. That's always fun. Versus, having someone like Matt and a lot and like Elisa, like her partner or whatever, their relationship too. So just seeing the comparison is like very interesting.
All right. Well said. And I do like the, I will be referencing this episode in my upcoming episode for Geek Talk with Tyler, Fact and Fiction. I do like when they start explaining the biology on how gargoyles could work. Anton Zavarius is trying to make a facsimile gargoyle, since no available DNA tissues were presented to him. He made a hybridization of Big Cat for the strength, a bat's wing muscle, and the electric eel, just to keep the wings of the extra energy to help King keep the creatures in the air, thus turning into the mutates created by Anton Zavarius.
Yeah. And their gliding powers for the gargoyles. They glide.
Well, yeah, the gargoyles glide, but I'm pretty sure the mutates full-on fly.
Yeah, they've been upgraded, for sure.
Yes, as if giving them electrokinetic abilities wasn't enough. No, you have to outdo them just by straight-up flying.
Yeah.
But that was definitely one of the more tragic episodes. For those of you that don't know, the episode is called Metamorphosis, Season 2, where Elisa's brother, Talon, is turning into the bat electric eel hybrid.
Aw, poor Talon.
Yeah, but it did give me one of the funniest jokes, well, the funniest clean jokes I've ever told. What did the what did the Buddhist say to the hot dog vendor?
What?
Make me one with everything.
Ah.
Yeah, I gotta love a good pun. But that's it, yes. There's nothing bad I can really say about gargoyles, because such terminology doesn't exist.
Yeah, it was just such an amazing show. And the comics were pretty good, too. I mean, they released between 2006 to 2009. I believe there was, like, 12 issues, right? I know they had it in the Disney magazine, which was really cool, because I remember Pete getting the Disney magazine and showing me when I was, like, younger. And, like, I think they even won an award for it, too, for, like, best comic book, which was really, really awesome. And I remember
they did. In 2007, they won the Ursa Major Award.
Yeah, that's it. I remember them winning an award, and like, I was, like, so excited for them. And I remember the first issue, because I wanted to get it, or, like, it was sold out, in which, like, they had to get, like, a second printing or something like that, which was pretty cool for them.
Yeah, I have read a bit of it here and there, but I would like to have the whole set in my collection.
Yeah.
But then again, that's like one of the first things I would do if I ever won the lottery.
by that. Yeah, I can see that.
Well, yeah, it's good literature. Greg Wiseman can't do any wrong.
Yeah, he's amazing. He's an amazing storyteller. Like, really.
Oh,
is.
He absolutely is. And for those of you that would like to check my interview with him, that's currently available on Spotify and Anchor.
Yeah, he's definitely one of, like, my inspirations as a writer. Like, just the way he takes, like, characters and makes them so, like, deep, but they're, like, simple at the same time. Like, he's just so good at it. Like, I wish I could write like him, you know?
Well, don't try to write like him. Try to like Ray Crispy.
I know. But definitely huge inspiration. But yeah, the comics were really, really awesome. Trying to think. I remember there was like a huge, like I think it was 2 or 3 about like the Halloween episode or something. It was like off of that or went into that.
Yeah, there was a Halloween-esque episode where Fox turned into a werewolf-esque creature.
Yeah.
And the gargoyles were wearing costumes on top of costumes.
Yeah, I think they like touched in it in the comic too. Like it was like preparing for the episode. It was like kicked off that episode or something like that. Like it was very interesting so that the gargoyles could actually enjoy their Halloween without having to worry about like the quarrymen and stuff like that. Because in the comic, it takes off where everyone knows that, you know, gargoyles exist. So like with all the bum bum. So like it was kind of like hey, we can hang out and have fun kind of thing.
Yes, and they actually kind of did that in Spectacular Spider-Man, another Greg Wiseman series where Peter Parker just hangs out in his Spider-Man outfit. It's like, hey, what are you supposed to be? Oh, I'm Spider-Man. So he basically told them without telling them.
That would be like the time if you were a superhero to rock your costume. I'm sorry. It's so true.
And no one apologized for it. It absolutely is true.
That would be so Peter Parker like situation for him to like enter a contest like a Spider-Man contest on that night and not win it, even though he is Peter Parker. Yeah.
Yeah, nothing's more embarrassing than entering as yourself, and still losing.
Yeah, I could see that happening to him, and I could see someone like Deadpool winning or something like that, like going as him or something, which is like random, but. On to gargoyles.
Well, Deadpool does troll.
Yeah, he does. I love him. He definitely does. But on to gargoyles. Yeah, that was pretty. That the episode was pretty cute, and they did a play on Beauty and the Beast, which was also in Goliath.
They did, and we're at our wrap up time. So here's we didn't get an answer for this question either. So that answer is The Adventures of the Gummy Bears. Greg Wiseman loosely based The Gargoyles on The Adventures of the Gummy Bears, which if all y'all been listening to the episode, Crispy inadvertently gave that answer away.
I just mentioned it, but I didn't give it away. But I mentioned it was my favorite, for sure.
Well, be that as it may, no one got this episode either. But try next week as we talk about One Piece. As we're wrapping this episode up, Crispy, you want to tell where you can be found, who you are, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah, I can be found on Instagram at KC_Crispy, and follow me on my many film adventures and theater romps. Fun times to be had.
Terrific. Catch us next week, same time, same number, as we talk about One Piece's final saga. Crispy, once again, thank you for talking gargoyles with me.
Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure and an awesome time.
Awesome. Glad to feel that way. Glad to have you. So, yes, make sure you tune in next week as One Piece's final saga, as I'll be talking with yet another lovely guest. Most importantly, everybody, do not forget to stay warm, do not forget to stay hydrated, and don't forget, stay geeky.